From The Compassionate Heart of Wisdom, a rendering of the Heart Sutra by James Ishmael Ford. When the heart of compassion walked through the gate of wisdom, she looked into the body of the world and each of us, seeing that each of us and the world itself is boundless. And with this, all suffering vanished. So we sometimes hear the phrase that we are living in a world that is on fire. And it feels a bit that way to me right now. With wars, multiple wars, broken out, and so much suffering. I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge that we are all connected, and that many of us may feel these painful conflicts in our hearts. One of the amazing things about practice is it gives us an opportunity to just recognize what is alive for us and not run away, not try to cover it up, and just let it be so. Our practice is to sit with what is. It's not a kind of denial or escapism. The compassionate heart of wisdom looks deeply into things just as they are. We have a teaching. The Buddha taught, in this world, hatred is never appeased by hatred. It is appeased only by loving kindness. This is an ancient law. And yet, when we are swept up in strong feelings and senses of right and wrong, it can be difficult to behave with loving kindness. Our judgments are so strong, and we are certain that we are right. It is not easy to be compassionate and to hold all beings. Our great vow to save all beings, sometimes, if we find ourselves swept up in taking sides, or perhaps, as James Ford writes, entanglements. So, I wanted to invite us to sit here tonight and recognize what is present for us all. And to just let it in, whatever it may be. And to look deeply into what is here. I was, many of you may be aware that Lion's Roar recently had a series of talks about death and dying. Not every one of them spoke to my heart, but there were a few, and certainly a few moments that did. And there was one story that one speaker told about a kind of near-death experience. He said that he was in a river and was kind of sucked underwater into one of these crazy whirling eddies. and was fighting against death. And as happens, my brother told a similar story that he was a young boy and got out over his head and went under and fought so hard for his life until a moment came when it wasn't really a decision, just a kind of, my fighting is done here, a kind of surrender. And both described in that moment an incredible kind of clarity that entered in and a kind of peace. And in both cases, in my brother's case, a hand reached down and snatched him up from the depths. And in the case of this storyteller, he eventually was swept out of this underwater whirlpool and emerged a few hundred feet down the river and was able to breathe and felt that after that moment he had a different kind of perspective. We have these forms that we practice here in the Zendo and at Sesshin. And for those of us who aren't used to them, they can feel quite restrictive. Now, fortunately, they do not prevent you from breathing. They don't take your life. I don't find anything immoral or unethical in them. Yet we can struggle against them. Now, I've said before that, you know, if we have an injury or whatever, we do what we need to do. That's not what this is about. I remember I told this story before about being at a Sesshin, and I spent a good part of the whole Sesshin thinking about why I had to step with the same time as the person in front of me. Sometimes we just get riled up. I want to do it my way. I want to practice my way. And it can be difficult for us to bow, to surrender. And, you know, we come week after week and we practice, in a way, this surrender. We might think, oh, I have an itch, or I want to get up and run out of this room with everything that's going on in my mind right now, or my heart. But we don't. We just stay. So in a way, it is not our personal will that decides to surrender. We might say that it is practice. We give ourselves to our practice. We give our bodies to our practice. We give our minds to this container that holds us. And sometimes all of us have these moments where we rant against the container, longing to be separate. A great part of surrender, just like in dying, I imagine, is giving up that separateness, that sense that I exist, fighting tooth and claw to defend the separateness of my existence and my opinions. It's quite a fearsome experience. In our encounter with koans, perhaps our hope is that we can solve the koan. And when we can't, we might say, oh, well, to hell with the koan then. not realizing that the koan is asking us to surrender to it. And in our pride, or, oh, who knows, all the different motives, frustration, we separate from the koan. Rather than letting the koan speak or demonstrate itself through us, we create a gap. There's me here and there's the koan over there. There's me here and there's the form over there of walking in this particular way, and I don't like that form. I am not that form. I don't like that person. I am not that person. I would like to kill that person. We can notice the enormous power of our thought formations to create gaps and create suffering. Of our hatred, for example. And we can see it play out in this world on fire. As we don't recognize that we are one human body, and we act out of hatred and out of separateness. This bowing is a deep practice, isn't it? One way that we bow is through the practice of compassion. And I think that a practice of compassion often really begins with ourselves, though it may sometimes feel like the most difficult person to practice with. But this meeting of whatever is arising in our heart and mind, and not turning away. It might be anger about the state of the world, about a particular person, about a particular people, about the forms in the Zendo. And that's okay. Our job is not to get rid of the anger. The Bodhisattva of compassion looks deeply into whatever arises. We imagine that, oh, if I attain enlightenment, I will have perfect clarity all the time. But we have a unique and interesting rendering in the Heart Sutra, which doesn't really point to that. It points to something else. She walked through the gate of wisdom. She looked into the body of the world and each of us, seeing that each of us and the world itself is boundless. And with this, all suffering vanished. Does that mean that the suffering in Israel and Gaza has vanished? What is this boundlessness? Really, peace begins in our own hearts. Ours is a practice of turning the light around to shine within, to discern, to see clearly what we are, to see our true nature. And what we find is that our true nature is no nature at all. There is nothing there that we can hold on to. like in death. Everything is impermanent. And we hear this teaching again and again. Everything is shape-shifting and changing. Our anger, our sense of right and wrong. This is why sometimes we can look back at something that we were so sure was true and that we were incredibly angry about, and 2 days later we look back at it and we say, wow, I guess I wasn't right. Why was I so angry? Everything changes. Our practice is this very deep practice of sitting still, practicing stillness in a way that allows us to see the way that everything is shape-shifting and changing. That in a very deep way, there is nothing that we can hold on to. That we even surrender what is very most dear to us. It sounds like such bad news, and it's so liberating. We find that as we open the hand of thought, as we stop clinging so tightly to our versions of what is true, to our separateness, to ourselves as a unique and special category, that as we give up everything, we receive everything. It just isn't the way that we thought it was. We're learning to give up our conceptual maps of the world in some way. And I do think that it is a profound kind of surrender, because we are stubborn people. We desperately feel that we do exist in a particular way, and that the world exists in particular ways that line up precisely with the stories that we happen to tell about it. As if we could capture the movement of the world in our thoughts. The hubris of it, and yet we do it again and again and again. And in this practice, we see that over and over and over, and open the hand of thought. And in that surrender, we find that everything is here. Boundless and free is the sky of samadhi. This is the sky of samadhi. This moment. And everything is included. And with this shift in the way that we are in the world, we return to the world. We exit the zendo. And we find that perhaps we aren't quite as intensely gripped by our versions, our inner representations of ourselves and of reality. And we try to meet each moment according to our vow to alleviate suffering as best we can, but perhaps with a touch of humility, with a touch of not knowing. And I hope with a great deal of compassion for all beings who we have found reside in our hearts.